appearing in the corner somewhere. Can you see the red dot?
Yes.
Okay, that means I'm recording. I can't see it because I have my presentation. It's blocking, sort of block. Oh, there it is. I can see it now too. For those, you know, I'm going to have the presentation and myself, but if you click, I don't know, Carmen, you know, if you click on the, you can have the gallery of people and you can move it around. You can also click and shift from gallery mode to keynote and back. So whether you see the keynote, the slides big, or the speaker big, you have control over that. And so you can play around with that a little bit. Hopefully you won't lose me. If for some reason anybody's connection goes off, or mine for that matter, Carmel will jump in and do a little show. I will, and you can just click the same link that you clicked to get in here. It's not going to happen, but just in case. So welcome all, and thank you for joining me. I'm so excited. As you can see, I was a little shy about should I do this or not, because I don't really want to hit anybody with a 2x4. But sometimes, you know, in life, we're just on a roll, and we just really take everything for granted, and we're not really paying attention very much. And then something comes along that kind of turns our world upside down, and it is like being hit with a 2x4. So just in case you're not paying attention yet, that 2x4 is here to show you that it's time to really start paying attention. So that's why I put this little picture up. So thank you all again. And thank you, Tutswe, for this opportunity, because I'm really grateful to be able to share this with you. And the title of this presentation is Overcoming Fear and Anxiety, Especially in These Uncertain Times. And basically what it is about, it's about protection of your most important asset, which is you in life and in your business. But if you just stick and stay stuck in protection, you're not going to grow. So it's really about learning. We're going on this journey to see how you can adapt and get out of that protection mode and start doing things out of your comfort zone. So basically the journey is going to we have a short introduction, and then we're going to talk about what survival mode is and why it's normal. Then we're going to see, okay, how do you adapt and reboot? And then how can we become more sustainable? What is the new way going to look like? And then we're going to talk about some practical tips and tools to shift you out of survival mode and get you into, like, right now, what can you do? And we've got 12 people, so we'll probably have 3 breakout rooms, so that in groups of 4, we have 2 times where I'm going to put you in smaller groups so that you can come up with some ideas and some suggestions for each other, because we're all in this together, and we're going to come up with some really interesting, because you're all so creative. Now, at the end of this webinar, I'm going to ask Julie or Carmen from the registrations to pick 2 people, and they will. I will do a coaching session with them. So that's if you stay till the end, you're gonna be one. There's gonna be 2 lucky winners, or not. I don't know. You can refuse. You can say no. I don't want that. Of course, it's a free will thing. So what is the context? What are we looking at? Well, this is a quote from Viktor Frankl. I don't know if you have read his book, Man's Search for Meaning. If you haven't, I highly recommend it, because, well, it's a book. He describes how it was in the concentration camps. And so if you're thinking, well, life is really, really hard right now, if you read that book, it's not so bad. and it talks about meaning and how, you know, what made him survive this incredibly difficult time. So when we are no longer able to change the situation, which is where we're in right now, we are challenged to change ourselves. So really, this is about how can you change yourself? And you can think, well, but you know, it's not about me. It is. It is. And you'll see how that works. So just a quick question for everybody. Just think about this. What percentage of time, right at this, in this time, what time do you spend per day on average, worrying, feeling overwhelmed, frustration, irritation, distracted, just a ballpark number. Is it less than 50% or more than 50%? I'll tell you, for me, it's more than 50% right now because there's so much going on. Would you agree, or just type in the chat box what percentage? More than 50%, 60%, or less? Just type in the chat box how much of your time you spent in kind of, okay, think about 25. That's not bad. That's good. 35, 50. So basically it's around, we got more than 50, less than 50, less than 50. Yeah, if we're working, it's okay. That's right, Robin. That's right. Yeah, about 40. So sometimes, you know, there's you don't realize because you are not constantly monitoring our thoughts. But a lot of time, you know, your mind just kind of goes in its own direction. But now more than ever, is it really important to be life affirming? Right? Because today we're going to talk about what that means, being life affirming. It's so easy to get lost in thoughts of, oh my God, the uncertainty is so big. This is such an unprecedented time that our brain doesn't know what to do with that. And our brain goes into survival mode to protect us. And it's going to look for things that give some kind of certainty. But that doesn't mean that what it's looking for is actually a positive thing. So, you know, for example, if you find yourself keep looking at the news, maybe in the first week when this all happened, I mean, I was constantly looking for updates. What's going on? What's happening? And how many cases do we have? And what are we supposed to do? And what are we not supposed to do? Can I travel or not? Can I visit my friends or not? You're constantly looking for information about just to get some kind of certainty. But that's not very helpful, because at some point, you know, you just have to also go on with your life. You still have a family, you still have your business, you still have, you know, to take care of yourself. And so there's a conflict there that your brain wants you to no, everything needs to stop right now because this thing is happening and we don't know what that means. So after a while, when that's going on, you start to feel a little, you know, a little exhausted. And because your brain does that, it's not something that you have control over. It's your primitive, your primal response. So we'll look at how that works, a little bit of the science background. So who thinks we're all going to be okay? I hope. I just stick your hand up or just stick your hand up. Yes, most of you. So, but who thinks it's going to be easy? Because it's not. So I'm not going to tell you that whatever is going, some part of me thinks so, but some part of me worries. That's right. It's not easy. No. Because we will survive. But you know what? This is not about surviving. I don't want to survive. I want to actually have a good life. I want to thrive. And I want all of you to thrive as well. So giving up is not an option. And our brain tries to justify, like, no, life is stopping right now because this thing has happened. And your brain is telling you things that are not helpful for you at this time. And sometimes you can stop the brain from the inner chatter that keeps going on and on and on. And especially if you're focusing on something. And that's kind of what we're trying to do, is to get ourselves busy with things that are useful. But then we have also the inner chatter that tells us that, oh, well, what do you think you're doing? You know, that inner voice that doesn't have a very high opinion of ourselves. So that's the little monkey mind that we're constantly having to deal with. So it's a difficult thing to manage that inner voice and then go on with life and think something positive will happen. If you're constantly, it takes a lot of your energy, a lot of your energy. So I hope you understand that we're far more capable than we think. And yes, we are vulnerable and we are delicate and we are sensitive, but we're also incredibly resilient and we're incredibly powerful and we are mysterious. We're a lot of things we take for granted, like our immune system, for example, or our genetic structure. It's amazing. And I think, you know, we underestimate ourselves and we overestimate how, you know, that life's supposed to be, you know, sort of okay. And now we're seeing life is not okay. It's totally upside down. So we are resilient and powerful and mysterious beings. And that's really important to keep that in mind. So the bad news is there is no back to normal. There's only a new normal, and it's going to be a better, more sustainable normal. And the good news is that a crisis just pushes technology and innovation. It can put us all into gear. And the best news is that we are far more capable than we think we are. So there's more good news than there is bad news. So that's what we're going to be doing all today. The fact that we're capable, that's one thing it's really important to understand, is that we human beings, this is, I don't know if you're familiar with Greg Braden. He's an incredible scientist. And he says, you know, human beings, we are designed to thrive in turbulent conditions. Basically, when life is easy, we kind of doze off a little bit. We kind of, you know, we take things for granted and it's easy. We get a little bit bored and we look for trouble. Sometimes we even go look for trouble. But we do best. We're wired to survive and to thrive. And we're wired to grow. And these growth spurts happen in times like this when it's hard. Not in spite of the challenges, but because of the challenges. So it is hard work. But this is a time where we can really experience a growth spurt. By the way, if you have any questions or not at all, you can type them in the chat box. And at the end, we'll have a Q&A for everybody as well. So the question is, do we love ourselves enough to do the hard work? Because a human being is a deciding being. We decide whether we're going to just, yes, you know what? We're going to decide that this is worthwhile. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist or a psychologist or whatever ist. Well, I was a physiotherapist. I'm a retired physiotherapist. So I guess I am one ist with an ist. And the knowledge that I'm presenting is stemming from the many works of lots of scientists that I have researched and followed and I read up to. That's kind of my hobby. I read books that scientists, I'm just interested in it. So over the last decade or more, I followed the latest scientists and I've always been interested in it. But if they're, you know, my, whatever I say is not doesn't replace a medical or professional psychologist or doctor. So please don't just go, well, Erna said I should be doing this, but no, go see your doctor if there's anything, or go see your a professional about your mental health. Now about me, my background is in science and I worked in the healthcare system for almost 3 decades. And like I said, I am very interested in neurosciences and psychology and human behavior. I worked a lot with youth, young adults that had traumatic brain injury. And this was early on in my career when I was still working in the Netherlands. And I learned so much from working with these people. Because, you know, when the brain doesn't work and you see how that expresses, how it's demonstrated in their behavior, it's incredibly interesting. And also how you can intervene. So, because some brain damage you can't fix. But the brain is incredibly flexible and resilient. And so seeing how people could adapt, that was just a miracle to me. So that's kind of, I've always thought, you know what, whatever you think you are, or who you are, what you can't or cannot do, it's not set in stone. We are very adaptable and we're incredibly resilient. So that's kind of what I learned from working with people with traumatic brain injury. So that's my background. And recently, in the last decade, I have transitioned, which is kind of lucky, because if I was still a physiotherapy practicing right now, I would have to change the way I was working because I wouldn't be able to work with people. So I did that transition. Well, I didn't know, but I just thought I want to leverage my knowledge and my skills so that I can help more people without taxing my own body. So that's my background. So that's why I'm now into more of a personal development, personal growth, building strength and resilience as a life coach and a mentor. And that's my passion right now. So that's me. Survival mode. What is it? And fear, what everything that you're experiencing right now, that there's nothing wrong with it. It's absolutely normal. Because fear is a functional and emotional response, and it's induced by a perceived threat, which causes a change in behavior. For example, you're on a hike, and all of a sudden there is a bear or a cougar, and you can see it, and so your response is to stand really still, freeze, or run as fast as you can away. So it's a functional response. And the amygdala is responsible for the processing of it. So right now, we're faced with an ongoing threat. And the whole world is under the same threat. And the funny thing is, you can actually sense a sense of a togetherness. Right? Isn't it? Don't you feel like we're all in this together, and it makes you feel somehow better because of it? Would you agree? So, yeah. So everybody is feeling overwhelmed, and the longer this is going on, the more people will feel tired, frustration, overwhelm, anger. And you'll people in the beginning, everybody's, oh yeah, no, it's good. In a sense, you know, and I read this a couple of times in from people, is in a sense, the whole world is in a state of grief. And yeah, together, but alone. That's true. We're sort of in a state of grief. So we're going through these stages of grief. So whatever you're experiencing, and you know, if you notice that you're irritable, or you're just angry, or you're completely in denial, and it's all normal. It's all normal, and we're all going through the same emotions, maybe not in the same order and not at the same time, but it will make you more aware of your own emotions and of other people's reactions. But if you know, life has to go on. So you still have to deal with your kids, your work, your household, your family. You still want to stay in touch with your family that doesn't live with you. Or, you know, my family is all in the Netherlands. So it's more effort to connect with them on a regular basis. But it all matters how you respond. And what happens with people that have no idea that they're in this fear mode. This is what the behavior, like panic buying. It's fear. It's a survival. The brain goes into survival mode, and people get into panic mode and panic behavior. So they get really self-absorbed, really selfish, because apparently I'm gonna just use the toilet paper because it's such a great example. For some reason, they are afraid they're not going to have enough, so they're going to buy as much as they can. This could also, you know, be other kinds of food. That's panic behavior. That is totally letting your primal brain take over, and you don't have to, you know, so you will see about that later. So how a person responds to a situation, it depends on a couple of things. more than what I say here, but it basically, it depends on your worldview, your own values, and your own beliefs. And it depends on your expectations and also on your personality. So we're not going to go into this because I could be talking all day long and then you'd just go, ah. But it really, so how you respond depends on these things, but also on your mood in the day. Sometimes you'll just, you just can't handle it. And other times you can. So, and that's, so we're not static beings. Our moods constantly, it's a flow of, it's an ebb and flow. But this is a really, if you understand this little graph that I try to visualize it, this is how I see it. If you're in the top line and you're expecting ease, basically, you know, I think in my lifetime, the world has been, you know, not perfect, but it's been fairly easy. And yes, you know, bad things have happened. I've lost people I loved, and you know, there's been difficult times, but overall, globally, it was sort of easy. You had your brain, you had a framework of the world as, you know, it's supposed to be like this. And so you're expecting this ease. So then every time you're not there, you're actually in the bottom line, you have this reality gap by where you think, well, life's supposed to be up there. It shouldn't be this hard. But if you're here, if you accept that it's hard, then there's no gap because you're here, you're on the bottom line, and you're looking, okay, well, I could become, it can become easier. You have this forward looking future where you're you're having a vision of a better future, but you're not freaking out because you're not there. Does that make sense? It's sort of like if you, but, and so we kind of go back and forth between those lines, but if you accept the struggle and expect it's not going to be easy, you're not going to get as upset when it isn't easy because, well, it's what you expect. And when you expect everything to go easy and it doesn't, there is more of a reason to be upset about it. So your representation of your reality and your world and how you fit in it is really important, that you know what it is so that you can say, huh, okay, so I'm feeling really upset by this and I don't know what to do. So what you can do is, can I view this in a different way, which is what you call a different perspective, right? So your perspective is really important. So we have basically, you know, in a sense, been spoiled and become a little complacent. And now this is happening and we're going, whoa, it's very, very extreme. And I know it kind of looks bad right now, but, and I don't want to, I'm an optimist, by the way. But if so, when I say it will only become worse unless each of us does our best. So what I'm saying is we're taking responsibility. Okay, Carmen, you made a good point. I feel like when I expect the struggle, it's a negative mindset. Yes. So mindsets, we're going to come to that. This is about a worldview, is to, okay, you know, we know there are difficult times. We know that things can get hard. We know we have things about ourselves that we don't like. If you just say, well, I'm just not going to look at that, they're not just going to go away. They're there. You don't have to be there and focus there, but you have to know the darkness, the struggle, the hardship is there. But where your focus is there. And so I'm not a pessimist, I'm an optimist, but I'm also, this is new for me because I used to think the same way, Carmen. Like, I feel like when I expect the struggle, it's a negative mindset, but it's not quite like that. And hopefully it'll become clear as we go on. So the stress response, basically everybody knows it's a fight, flight, and freeze, pardon me. So when you encounter a danger, immediately you're before you even know it, you're already responding. So that's how fast and automatic it is. It's not something that you have under control. It's a very primal response. It's the sympathetic nervous system that kicks in, and it just sends a signal. The amygdala picks it up. It sends a signal to your hypothalamus, and your body is flooded with these stress hormones, and boom, you can feel. The moment those stress hormones flood your body, you feel it. So the feeling is actually the chemicals going through your body. You don't feel anything unless there's something that triggered it, right? So what you feel is a reaction, is a response to something that triggered it. Stimulus and response. So when the fight, the stress response kind of lingers, which we call chronic stress, it's not as functional because it can go into behavior like anger, frustration, and resentment. Or it can go, when it's the flight response, it would look like avoidance or isolation or denial. And the freeze response, you know, I believe that depression is kind of the freeze part of the stress response that has been ongoing for a long time. And it causes apathy and complete disconnect. So the good news is when you realize that the beginning of the stress response, you have no control over, but what you do after, you do have control over. So you don't have to stay stuck in a stress response in the primal brain. By the way, primal doesn't actually mean primitive, because our primal brain, the primal nervous system, has been around for over 200,000 years. It's the prefrontal cortex, or intelligent mind, that is fairly, well, newer. So that's an interesting thing to realize. So your brain, the job of your brain, the main job of your brain is to protect you. And protection is the opposite of innovation. So if you surrender to what your brain's telling you, this is dangerous, this is not good, stay away from it, change is bad, I don't know what to do with this, and you accept that as your new reality, there will be no innovation. So that's important to know. So the second thing is the brain looks for threats. Because its job is to protect you, it's always biased to look for things that are not going to be safe. So it looks for the danger and the threats. And then it will trigger this stress response when it sees something. And the other thing that it does, it doesn't really give you a real representation of your reality. It filters a lot of things. And it also, like I said, it just makes assumptions. It fills in gaps. If there's uncertainty, it will fill in the gaps for you. So you don't really get a realistic representation of the reality. And this is very, you know, when 10 people go see a movie, they all have a different story, right? The movie was good, or I like this. They all see different things, because whatever is in your experience, your brain will pick up on the things that it's used to. So you're not going to see somebody else's perspective. Never. You're never going to see the world through the eyes of somebody else. You have your own filters and your own assumption. And you need to know that so that you can stand aside and say, wait a minute, this is how I see it, but that doesn't mean that that's how it is. There is another way of looking at it. And the fourth thing is really, your thoughts are actually things. Your brain, and this is really mind-blowing, your brain doesn't know the difference between what you're thinking about or something that's really happening. It has the same chemical response. It can trigger a stress response. So thinking about something that's dangerous will trigger a stress response. And that means that if you worry or listen to the news and hear all the bad news, even if it's not really happening in that moment, you will still get that same stress response, because it's an automatic response. And because the brain is there to help you survive, that's what it's going to do. So all your senses, including your inner thoughts, so the outer experience and your inner experience, can contribute to a stress response. Okay, so it's important to know that, because then you can't change it unless you know that that's what's going on. So in other words, if you do nothing, your default will be more in, you'll be more in survival mode than not. That's kind of what your brain's, your primitive brain, your primal brain is kind of steering you towards. And especially in times when there's uncertainty and lots of change and all these stressful things are happening. So how do you instruct your brain then? Okay, I made a little graph here. So information's coming in, and basically what I said, you know, you have a thought, and that thought, or there's an information coming in through your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your taste, it could be the news, it could be something that you see on the news, or it's something that you hear, or it could be something that you're thinking about, could be food that you put in your mouth, it could be what you drink, could be a medication that you take, anything. That's all information that comes into your body, into your experience. And it creates a reaction in your body. If you have a fearful thought, it will create a response in your body that you feel. And then your action is, well, avoid the fear, avoid the danger. So you're going to run away from the danger. And sometimes that's helpful, because then you're safe. The outcome is that you're safe. But if it's in a situation where you have to adapt and say, well, I have to do something that I have never done before, like changing, you know, from meeting in person and meeting in a Zoom meeting, like doing, everything's changing. And if your brain's saying, no, change is bad, don't do it. So you're going to feel anxiety about it. And then your action could be, well, I'm going to do it anyway, which will break through the loop. Or you're going to say, well, no, this is too scary, I'm not going to do it. And then the outcome is that you feel good for a moment. Oh, thank God I didn't have to do this. But then you're stuck in that loop. So it's your responsibility to, when you feel something is, well, what do I do with it? Is this really dangerous? Or is it just something that I haven't done and I just feel anxious because it's new? And it's really good to make that distinguish. And so that answers hopefully your question, Carmen, because when if you keep satisfying that anxiety with, oh, I'm not going to do it, your mindset's going to be sort of, you're not in a growth mindset. You're in a survival mindset. And you can only have one or the other. And maybe this will clarify things too. So whatever's going on outside or inside, when you're in that space between stimulus and response, that's where you have the power to choose. What am I going to do? Am I going to be fearful and think that this is dangerous? Or can I switch to, well, wait a minute, I can do this. You know, it's new and it feels really scary and it feels like I shouldn't be doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then when you do that and you feel like, yeah, I did it, you know, you're building confidence and you're building competence and you feel really satisfied about what you're doing. So the next time you go, well, yeah, I feel that fear again, but I know that if I do it anyway, you know, I'm building my character. I'm building strength. And that changes your response and it changes your mindset. So in your response, how you respond, that defines whether, you know, that's where your growth and then that's creates freedom, because then you feel like you have, you know, you have autonomy. You don't feel a victim of your circumstances anymore. And that's a process. It's a process, because, you know, you can also feel really down about it. So let's have a little question here. So we got 12 people. So I'm going to do a little bit of a breakout room. And let's do 5 minutes, just four people, and just come up with how you just discuss with each other how you feel, what kind of emotions and what you're struggling with, and how that's affecting your behavior. So I think, let me see if I can, I don't know how, I probably have to, I've never done this in a presentation, so bear with me, the breakout room thing. There, okay. I gotta stop sharing. Hi, everybody. Okay. So I'm gonna get 3, 4 rooms. We're gonna get 3 rooms. There we go. Whoops. And I'm gonna create a breakout room, and then you can click, you could see it come up, and then you can click on the link on the window, and your cat wants to be in the breakout. Okay. So then you just click on open all rooms, and then you can click on it and go in, and then I'll see you.
So Erna, we each click on our own join breakout room. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay, good. We got. Yeah. Okay. And everybody's back. How did that go?
Good.
It's really in, because I don't, you know, I could go into the different groups, but I thought I'll just let you. Did you come up with some interesting thoughts on that?
We weren't quite sure what the topic of discussion was. We just thought it was about how do you feel?
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. How do you feel? And how is this new circumstance that we're facing, this threat of the virus and the economy and how all these changes are affecting how we feel and how does it affect our behavior? Right. So I know myself that some days I just feel so overwhelmed and I get a little frustrated or irritated. I'm more irritable. And I know that's it's not because of the whatever, whoever it is that's irritating me. It's me. It's not my circumstances. It's me. So I'm going to show you a video. Okay, this is going to be an interesting... I'm going to make that big. So I'm going to share with you a video. And I really want you to pay attention because this is... We're going to test your attention, see what your brain, how good your brain has an attention. So let me, bear with me. I'm going to share that there. And okay, so here it is. And there's going to be sound and video. It's a YouTube video. Okay, here it goes.
This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the basketball. How many passes did you count? The correct answer is 15 passes. But did you see the gorilla?
Okay, so who didn't see the gorilla? Yes. So it's interesting. So if you're really focused on getting the information, you're telling your brain what to do. Just count the passes between the people with the white shirts. Your brain is going to completely focus on the job. And so that is all you're going to see. Apparently, in all this research, it was a little over 50% will not see the gorilla because you're so focused on what's going on with the ball passing. And that's really demonstrates how your brain functions. If you give your brain a job to do, then it will do that job and it will filter out everything else that's going on. And so that's how, you know, I didn't see the gorilla the first time going, huh? What happened? I mean, how could I not? This must be a trick or something. But and once you see the gorilla, it's hard to not see it. So it's a very interesting video that demonstrates how your mind works. So we're going to skip a little bit because I really want to get to the most important. How can we adapt so that we can be in control over these emotions and not let that stop us from moving forward? And really what it is about is becoming sustainable and adaptable. And the way to do it is to really practice good self-care strategies. And rather than, if people want to unmute themselves, if they want to engage in this, because I think it's important that we talk about this. So unmute your microphone and tell what ideas do you have? And you can share that with others and with me. How are you taking care of you and that you can feel more capable and able to move forward? Because I'm just looking for a slide that I made here, and I'm going to share that with you.
I'm trying to exercise, Erna. I'm not exercise like really like robustly doing a big workout program, but just trying to get outside and remembering that this earth is going on without us. Whether this happens or doesn't happen, the seasons are changing and life is evolving and happening, and it seems so solid and real when I go out for a walk. So I'm trying to walk a lot.
That's good. Anybody else?
Yeah, and that's the same for me. I have a trainer on my road bike inside, thank goodness, today, and I've been doing trying to do that and also going for walks. Getting out in nature has always been my place to escape. So
good.
Yeah.
Yes, getting outside is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, for me too. You know, having dogs really helps. I have two dogs. Yeah. One's a 9-month-old corgi, which so great way to really be present with what's happening right here, right in front of you. Breathing, meditating, praying.
YouTube videos on yoga.
Yoga. Yeah.
10 minutes. That's all you need. 10-minute stretch in the morning feels great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other thing that you can do is, so once you can turn that stress response off, once you can shift from your sympathetic nervous system to your parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for the relaxation response, then you can turn on your creative brain, and then you become creative in a sense that, okay, well, maybe there is something that I can do that I didn't think of. So then you can start looking at the world as it is without turning that stress response on. And I don't know if you can see the slide, but so that you can adapt. And I know you can see all my other slides too, but you can adapt. When you adapt yourself and your family, you have to kind of get your family and your friends on board with that too, but also your business. We can't go back to how it was. And so, you know, we have to adapt and become creative and innovative. And that's, you can't do that when you're in stress mode. So it really is important to switch from the stress response to a growth or a powerful mindset. So how do you do that? Well, yes, all these things that you say is how you do that. So manage your mood. Maybe I can just go like this. Manage your mood. Healthy routines like sleep, rest, eat, drink water, move, laugh, connect, yoga, meditate, pray, all these things. But also get your family and your friends involved and your coworkers involved and ask, like, delegate. Don't do everything by yourself. You're not alone. And the last thing on this slide is you have to plan these things. You have to write things down. What is important right now? Book the time for yourself, because the more you can put things in a calendar and and plan it, the more freedom you create for yourself. And that sounds contradicting, but it's true. So, and lastly, I want to, you know, this is another Viktor Frankl: those who have why to live can bear most anyhow. So what you decide to do, make it matter so much that it's worth the trouble, and that you just, you know what? No, this is my way out. This is how I'm going to adapt. This is how I'm going to get my kids, my family on board with it. I'm going to delegate. I'm going to have a discussion. We're going to negotiate on which things everybody has to sacrifice something. And how are we going to do this together? Because we are in it together. And you know what? Together is better. Even being in this mess together in the whole world, it's better than if it's just better because we're all in the same boat. So this is where, we as part of the Tutsvei, which is such an powerful, important project right now. You can join the Facebook group and connect and share and get support in there. I might even give some extra support in there if there's questions, because there's so much more that I can share with you. The second thing that you can do is connect with Carmen, just to send her an email. And the third thing is connect with me. Just send me an email. And Carmen was going to put the links in the chat box, and Carmen will say a few words in a minute as well. The draw is going to, we'll do that in a minute. There's an announcement that I'm supposed to make. There's a webinar next week where Jody is going to share her wisdom. Jody Shakespeare, it's next Thursday. And it is called, Back to Basics: What Consumers Care About During This Time of Change. So that's a really good webinar to be part of for your business. And just as I've got to unshare, this is hard work to kind of get this going here. There's a poll that I want everybody, or Carmen asked me to do this so that we can kind of get an idea what times of the day and what days you prefer to have the webinars, just to get an idea what people's availability is. So if you could fill that out. And what I'll do, Carmen, is I'll just take a screenshot of that. I decided that was probably the easiest way to get the results. So let's wait a minute. Let's see what everybody's... Wow, this is cool. It's the first time I'm using my poll. All right, let's give it one more second. Okay, I'm going to end the poll right now and share the results with you. So it looks like Friday is the winner. And the morning has a preference. I'm going to take a screenshot so that we don't lose that. Okay, thank you very much for that. So the draw, what we're going to do is, unless you don't want to, you can let Carmen know. Carmen or Julie, they're going to draw two people's names out of the registrants, and I will get a free coaching session with you. So that's... just my thank you for being here. Carmen, would you like to make some announcements?
Do you want to know who the winners are?
No, make the announcements. You said you wanted to say...
Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah. I made the draw too. So if you'd like to know the draw, I'll also let you know that. But I do have some announcements to make. Thank you. First of all, I wanted to thank you, Erna, for stepping up when... this all started happening. Erna said, you know, I think there's some value that I could share with my fellow Suitsway network. And she puts a lot of thought into these kind of things. And so really appreciated her stepping up to do this. So thank you, Erna. We're going to be providing ongoing webinars to the network as we shift how we do what we do. It's going to be shifting, as obviously it has to do, into an online delivery platform. So we've been working really hard in the background, our team, and we really feel that we're going to be able to continue to provide good value and good experiences in this networking and support that the Whole Suits Way Up project was set up to provide. So thank you, and thank you for my tea from my son there. The weird things that happen nowadays, hey? So thank you all for participating in this of our first webinar. There's a lot that we have to learn and we'll get better at, but you are certainly our guinea pigs. So thank you. I wanted to remind all of you that we have the Entrepreneur in Residence program. So it's a free program that enables you to meet with our business coach, Caroline Grover, and she's met with quite a few women recently who just want to work through some of the thought process of how do I turn this corner? How do I, sometimes it's how do I survive? How, sometimes it's how do I thrive? And sometimes it's what do I do next? So I really want to encourage you to participate in that if you haven't availed yourself of that. And she's able to connect you with other resources that will be helpful to your business on behalf of, and funded as well, just so you know. So there is that opportunity. We're also going to be moving forward with a peer mentorship program. So if any of you are interested in being involved in a small peer mentorship program, and it would feel maybe a little bit like what Erna just shared with us in the breakout room, smaller group, guided conversations by a trained person, we are going to be introducing this over the next few weeks. So watch for that program announcement, but also send me an email if you're interested in participating in that. Also, thank you, Erna, for reminding us about next week's webinar with Jody Shakespeare and talking about what customers are looking for now. And it's hard to believe that it could have changed in 1 month. But it truly is shifting rapidly. And so it's important for us to adapt our businesses and our messaging to speak to what customers are looking for. And wanted you to also know that we have Carrie Wilkinson working hard in the background on our website. And she's been adding some capabilities to the website. So one of the things she's added is a business profile section, where you'll be able to go in and add your business so that other people can see who is in the network. And so this will be, we're just getting this rolling, and it will be through Julie. Julie is going to be collecting this information and then posting these listings with Carrie. So expect some communication from Julie, and also the calendar. Carrie is adding a calendar capability to our website. And you might have heard Erna say that it's important to have your life a little bit scheduled. And I know it's kind of a relief to not have the schedule we had, but it's like, it's also a bit of a comfort. So we've added a calendar to our website so that we can put webinars and events that are coming up. They're all virtual, but they're all happening. And so just so people can kind of plan for those. So those will be Suitswea events, but as well as other events that are important to women entrepreneurs of the Shoe Swap. So watch for that calendar as that starts becoming populated. It might help you create a bit of a schedule around things that you want to participate in. Also really important to people right now to connect with a group, and Julie John is going to be creating, monitoring and facilitating our Facebook group conversations. So thank you, Julie. So all of you are welcome to join that. It's a closed community, and it's not going to be a place where people sell anything, but it is going to be a space for conversation. So if you'd like to join that Facebook group, please do so, and you will connect with one another, and Julie will be our moderator on that space. There's some good strong rules in place for it, but I think it'll be a healthy place for some of this dialogue to happen. So those were just some of the things I wanted you to know about, and thank you again to Erna for sharing your knowledge and giving us this space to be able to talk. And I encourage anybody who would like to make an appointment, but obviously Erna does this for a living. She does one-on-one coaching. So if anybody feels that they would like to reach out to Erna outside of this, I think Erna, you've put your contact information in there as well.
Yeah, I put my my business email, erna@ernestassen.com. It's in the chat box. Okay. Yeah. So just one question is, do you have that Facebook group is not ready to go yet? Is that what you're saying? Or
it is ready to go. You can join it. Julie has put the address in the chat box.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Julie, did you want to put that in again, maybe one more time? And then you can also go to our Facebook page and link to the group, request participation in the Facebook group from the Facebook page.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So did you want to announce the winners?
Sure. I'll announce the winners.
Okay.
The winners are Barb Smaha.
Yay, Barb.
Yay.
And Denise Austin. Awesome.
And sorry, Denise.
Denise, is Denise still with us? Maybe she left us.
No, not at all. Thank you very much.
Oh, there's the niece. Okay. So what I will do, I will get the email their email addresses from you, Carmen, and then I'll contact them personally.
Perfect.
Okay. Awesome.
So did you want to now proceed with your question and answer? We wanted to make sure people felt free. This was a 1 hour commitment. So if you feel like you needed to leave, but Erna has graciously agreed to stay with us for till 12:30 and answer personal questions if people would like to stay or even just have a space for discussion. So Erna, do you want to lead us in that conversation?
Yes. So, you know, I had prepared a presentation that was probably worth 2 hours or so, but the most important thing that I want you to kind of think about is that you're not a victim of your circumstances, no matter how bad it looks, and that you're not a victim of your emotions and your feelings, so that you start taking responsibility and really start taking care of yourself. And sometimes taking care of yourself means to challenge yourself. It's like when you're doing everything for your kids, are you helping them or are you enabling them, right? So be that person for yourself where you say, you know what, I have to step up. I need to become a better human being so that I have more to give. So please ask me any questions that you have on you know, if you have like any questions at all. I'm right here and I'll be here for another 25 minutes. So fire away if there are any questions.
I could start a question and it kind of came up in our chat room. How to balance out this need for information because it's important that we know things, like in the news, that kind of thing, like for our jobs and our life and our businesses and our funding and what we do next, and the government wants us to know things about, you know, what's legal right now, what's not legal. How to balance all that information coming at us, but not get anxious and overwhelmed by it?
Yeah, very good question. And I've been struggling with that myself. Well, not anymore, but like I said in the beginning, I was constantly looking at my phone and, you know, watching things online. And I don't have TV, so I get my information from, like, the computer. What I did is, like, okay, I can do half an hour in the morning and half an hour at another time. Two times a day, I give myself half an hour or less. Less is better. And only look at you know, pick two information channels that you feel comfortable, that you trust. So this means that you're not going to be looking for information that what are other people saying. Just pick an information channel that you trust, and then maybe another one to kind of get to different opinions. And then further, if there's any free information, I want this I want you to know. What they say they know about the virus, they only know the facts after the fact, because it's a new virus. So the numbers that you're seeing are biased, or you can't really know and trust what is real and what's not. So be very critical and very, you know, just don't take everything with a grain of salt. I don't mean that you shouldn't take the precautions that you're supposed to, but take everything with a grain of salt and just be, you know, use your own common sense. So don't take everything like, oh my God, this is really, really bad, because that's not helpful. And, you know, we won't know until all this is over and we'll look back. That's when we actually know facts. But right now, a lot of the things are speculations, and a lot of the measurements that they're taking are based on speculations. And they have to, because how could you otherwise make sure that it doesn't get worse? So keep in mind that we won't know what really is happening until all this is over, and then we can actually see all the different facts pop up, like the numbers and the numbers of deaths and how the virus transmits. It's kind of getting the facts as time passes by. So make sure that you keep that in the back of your mind. But balancing, it's just take two times a day and limited time only. And if you have to, put that in your calendar too, right? And then set a timer. Set a timer. This is how much time I have to get information. That being said, if you need to apply for grants or funding through the government, that they have the emergency fund, there are probably, I think you, Carmen, put a lot of information on the website. Awesome job. So go somewhere where you have the information that you need and don't let yourself get distracted in other things. So get help when you need to know where to go for help, financial help. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. Does do other people have similar kind of questions or comments on that subject?
I have an interesting comment, and this comes from Michaela. As one of our young people on her way into town today, she says, this is going to be one of those history, these historical events that students down the road are going to have to study in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all unfolding, and we don't know exactly how Erna says it's all unfolding. We have no idea how this is going to progress or end or settle out. We know it will end one day. We'll get through it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a big historical event that future generations are going to study in school.
Yeah, an interesting analogy. You know, I was thinking as I had my coffee this morning, I thought, God, it's like your computer has installed a new operating system overnight and you turn your computer on and nothing works the same anymore. It's like you have like an upgrade, or in this case, it's not really an upgrade, but it's like you have a new maybe the next Mac operating system will be the operating OS Corona or something. But it's weird because your life used to look a certain way and you used to do certain things, and all of a sudden it doesn't work that way anymore. And it's like, wow, it is surreal, isn't it? Isn't it surreal? Like you just walk outside and you go to a store, and I had to go to Costco the other day, and there's a lineup outside and everybody's kind of stuck to their little cart and people aren't really looking at each other because I don't know what that is. So please, when you go outside, smile to other people. Smile. Bring out your beautiful smile. And because everybody's like this, and you don't have to, if you smile, that's still social distancing. It's, you can have a physical distance, but still be social. Yeah, I liked the suggestions of the people in the chat box I was reading. I'm going to try, because I had a Carmen yesterday when George came out with his banjo, I thought, God, we're Pam and I are going to try and see if we can do a jam session, a Zoom jam. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try. And getting together with friends Sunday. I'm going to invite all my friends on the Zoom, and we're going to have, bring your own beer, bring your own appies on Zoom, things like that. But yeah, outside, go outside when you have to go outside, when you must get groceries, smile at other people. Don't hide in your own little world.
Do any of you feel the pressure of connecting and communicating and the technology? Like, I get to the end of the day and people want all my family from all over suddenly who wasn't connecting so much before. Everybody wants to talk and chat and connect, and I sometimes get a little anxious about all that kind of correspondence and this obligation to people to connect and be in touch. Just wondering if anybody else has that experience.
No. I find I reach out to more people, old friends, and things that I haven't been doing on a regular basis. So I found I'm doing more of that, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Me too. I'm doing the same.
Yeah. You know what? I know somebody said to me, I'm making one phone call to somebody every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, if you're right, Carmen, if you're on the computer all day already and you're doing the Zoom, and it's hard on your eyes, it's hard on your body, and you want to look after your body. So maybe just a call is easier than Zooming. But I think what I said about everything has changed, even how you connect with your friends and your family has changed. And because your brain doesn't like change, it's stressful. So you're going to feel tired and you're going to feel, it's too much. And that's why, because your brain can't make sense of this world at the moment. So we're going through an adaptation phase. And so we have to be extra nice to ourselves. But nice doesn't mean no challenge. It means, okay, let's do baby steps. And so if it's too much to, and if you feel obligated, maybe, you know, you don't have to feel obligated. You say, well, you know what? I'm going to call this person tonight and I'm going to call that person tomorrow. And maybe in the weekend, I'll call two people. But you even that, plan it for yourself. Make it so that you don't feel overwhelmed. Schedule it. Yeah. Anybody else have anything to say about how to adapt with the business? I know that because that's what Jody's going to talk about next week. So we can think about that. Like, wow, it's a lot to even manage my personal life. And where does my business come in? How can I manage that on top of all of that? Does anybody struggle with that?
I was struggling with that earlier, like probably a couple of weeks ago. And then I started, I went on my Facebook group that I joined for organizers that was based out of the States, and everybody was talking about virtual organizing. And so I sort of tapped into one organizer that was really, really informative, and she gave me a lot of inspiration. I'm an introvert, so it's, you know, and she's an introvert too. So she was talking about getting online and videotaping herself and all this stuff, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's not something I am used to or comfortable with at all. But I'm challenging myself to do that. So I am going to be offering virtual organizing. I haven't quite figured out how to do it, but I did my very first video on my iPhone yesterday and I spliced it together with InShot. I don't know how good it is, but you know, I'm just diving in. So it's all new. It's a challenge, but it's kind of neat because I need to learn. I feel I need to learn this stuff.
That's awesome, Barb.
Yeah, that is so great.
You said a few things. Like you said, I'm an introvert. Remember I said in this slide, how you deal with situation is depending on your character, your personality. And so for introverts, you know, it's like easy to, you know, they don't really crave a lot of social interaction, but, you know, they're asked to come out of their shell to connect with people in a way that they're uncomfortable with. So good for you for taking on the challenge and doing it anyway. And so what you should do is recognize that as a win, as a big step forward, and reward yourself. Think of things that you can do to reward yourself for when you take on a challenge and you succeed and you do it. There should be some kind of reward for yourself, and it doesn't have to be a big one, but that's how, you know, we human beings, we like to we don't like punishment. And so reward yourself, celebrate your wins is what I want to tell you. So that's just yay Barb. And you know, you're one of the winners, so that'd be awesome. I'm gonna be able to help you quite a bit, I think. Yeah,
that's great.
Well, for me, the celebrating, it's more like, you know, I can do this. That's what it feels like to me, because before I would have, like, there's just no chance. I've taken some courses on videoing and the InShot it's an app. And so I sort of learned how to do it, but then I never did anything with it. So when I did the video yesterday, I haven't posted it yet, but, it was a lot of work. It was 25 tries until I was happy with it. And it's not perfect, that's for sure, but it's good enough and it's my start. So I'm happy with me taking that step forward.
Barb, it's Carmen here. We are adding a section to our website on e-learning. So, well, this is for everybody, that you can go to the website and see, you know, webinars posted. And we have one member who has put together a video on how to make an iMovie, just how-tos and learning opportunities. So if you would like to post your video there, maybe that would be a good place that we could share your video with the network, hey?
If I could figure out how to do it, that'll be that's the next thing. Because I've created it. Now I have to figure out how to post it, how to share it, all that. Because again, all this stuff is new. So I will.
Awesome. Good job.
Well, that's so, you know, this is a great example, Barb, how you said your internal reward is, I did it. I didn't think I could do this. So this is what I mean by, you know, you're when you break through that cycle of, you know, it was okay to be that person before. Now world is different. Now you've got to step out of your comfort zone. And you're realizing that you're much more capable than you thought you were. So that's basically, you know, what my whole presentation, what I want you to know is that you do have capabilities that you didn't know you had, because there was never a real need to explore that. And now you have all these opportunities to explore these areas where you go, oh, but, you know, once you step out and use baby steps, you know, you don't want to plunge yourself into the deep end without learning how to swim, but doing these things will make you feel, that's basically psychologists, the thing that is most satisfying is accomplishment. This doing something that you didn't think you didn't know how to do before, and then doing it and then feeling that accomplishment. And that's a really, really, really important, that's really important for human beings to have that feeling. So thank you for sharing, Barb.
Erna, maybe Scylla or Glenna, who we don't see on the video, but they're being pretty quiet there. Maybe they have something they'd like to share.
I can unmute Glenna, but... No, I can't. I can't unmute Glenna. Oh.
Okay, I can unmute me.
There you go.
Sorry, I was actually multitasking, I must confess. So just kind of listening. Was there a particular question that's on the floor just now?
My question, Glenna, it's Carmen here. My question just was if... yourself or Scylla had any thoughts or questions that you wanted to put forward? Because sometimes when you're not on video, we kind of forget that you're there, but you very much are.
I appreciate you noticing that I'm still here. I think I've just really enjoyed hearing everyone's thoughts this morning, and particularly hearing Erna say things like, you know, acknowledging what are able to do, because it feels like such a huge learning curve for us, but taking the baby steps through it, it feels like we're getting there, that things are getting accomplished. My connection is with the South Shuswap branch of the regional library, working with Lee and Teresa, and our employer has so many different ways for us to start connecting with our customers again. And they're just starting to roll out now, of course, but there's just so much that we are able to do that we didn't even think about before. Mm-hmm. And Carrie's comment that this was a historical event that the students are going to have to study, it made me think it's like when a big historical event happens and you think, and in my life before that event and in my life after that event, you know, things like, here's my age, the assassination of Kennedy, I can remember that time when I was a student in school, and you remember that day so clearly when some of those events of historical importance happened, and then you move on to the after that event. I think this is very much going to be like that. Maybe we'll talk to some of our young people about, instead of saying, you know, in the olden days when I was a kid, we'll say, you know, before the pandemic and after the pandemic.
You know, I had a dream last night, and somebody in the dream was holding my hand, and I had such a dissonant feeling. Like I felt comforted that somebody was holding my hand, but I also felt repelled that somebody was touching me.
Yes, and we're missing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're missing that connection physically, but it's so important to a lot of us. And to feel like somebody was holding your hand was just amazing, because we're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. That's the message.
Yeah.
We'll get through.
Thank you, Glenna. You're absolutely right. These are interesting times, and it feels surreal. It doesn't, you know, it's unprecedented. But what is not unprecedented is that businesses change. Like the internet has changed the way business is done. If you look at those video shops, they're out of, you know, things, businesses have changed under certain different circumstances. But the petri dish that we're in right now is kind of a culture of unknown and uncertainty. So it's so big and it's so sudden. But, you know, businesses have adapted. Like this is what you've seen happen with Netflix and even Uber drivers, like they put taxi cabs out of business, but it's a shift, it's an adaptation. So here we are, we're like, okay, things are gonna be different. Like you said, Glenna, before the pandemic, we did things like this. Now we do things like that. And so we don't know what that's going to look like. So they're scary times, but they're also exciting times. The real threat, there is a threat, like not that you really have to worry about getting really sick if your immune system is well, your immune system. Oh, I should share some of this stuff on the Facebook group. I just watched the video how, you know, about how your how miraculous your body is. And we have to give ourselves, our bodies, credit for how amazing our biology is. So if we get out of the way and be nice to our bodies, there is, you know, we're amazing. So don't forget that. And so, yeah, is there any, I think we got four more minutes.
Maybe Denise has something that she'd like to share. I see her beautiful smile there peeking through.
No, it's been great input though, ladies. And I was saying in our chat room that I just felt I felt fear and not comfortable doing things, but it took me a long time to realize that I was even feeling that. And then a couple of days ago, I kind of just took baby steps to get out more and to reach out more. And that was interesting to see in myself, because I didn't realize that I would be that vulnerable.
Yeah. Which is, you know, when you feel fear, you feel the fear because you're thinking about something or you're hearing information that your brain interprets as there is an imminent danger right here. And sometimes you don't realize it, and then you don't acknowledge it. And then you start feeling it and you go, oh, yeah, you know, I'm really feeling whatever it is, because it could be expressed. The feelings could be very different. Some people will get really frustrated and angry and irritable. Other people get really tired and quiet, and they're more in the like hide away, run away. So there's different ways in which we express our fear response, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong way, and it's normal. It's like we're all grieving the old way of living. It's like the pre-pandemic, we're grieving how it was, how easy it was. And all of a sudden we've got to do it differently. And that's when you lose somebody you love, that's how you feel too. It feels like the world is ending. And why would you do anything when the world is ending? You just feel like hunkering down and wait till it's over. But that's not going to help.
No, gosh.
But acknowledging that, like, yeah, this is why I feel this way and it's absolutely normal, then you can work with that. Yeah.
Denise, how did you, once you acknowledged that you had that feeling of fear, how did you start dealing with that?
I went down the elevator to my storage area because I'd been decluttering my condo, and even getting to my storage area, I found difficult, to tell you the truth, which sounds absolutely lame. But and then I did that and I got through it. And then I started workouts. And so I do a morning workout, just like stretching and Pilates. And I do that morning and night. And that stimulates me. It gets me more in a more positive state of mind.
That's awesome.
I still have more to do. I still have to get outside.
Mm-hmm. Baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. But
this is very helpful, ladies. It was really nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank everybody. And I want to thank you, Carmen. And thank you for participating. The recording will be available, as well as I'll send the whole slide deck. I mean, well, I haven't used all of the slides, but it'll give you the information. And I'm always available if you have questions. The Facebook group is right there, so you can ask there too, I think. Right, Carmen?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it'll be nice for people to realize that there is nice is such a funny word, but it's comforting, maybe. Whoever used the word comforting in business until now, right? But it's comforting as business owners to know that there is a space that we can go to and share our thoughts and our concerns and our inspirations. And just occurring to me, like even hearing Denise's story and Barb's story and Glenna's story today, Carrie's story, you know, just it's helpful, isn't it? And so having that space and having these webinars, I think, ongoing that we can join into and share, I think it helps me. And I think it's something that we're going to continue. So if you have ideas or thoughts for the future programming for Suits Way, this is our program. This is what we need it to be for ourselves. So email me and give me your thoughts. I really will appreciate them. Thank you for your participation.
Okay, everybody, thank you very much. We're going to end the meeting, and I hope to see you again on Zoom.
Yeah, we'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.